here today. I hope your summer is going well. Summer's always a different deal. You dream about when you were in school and you got summer off, and those days are so gone, aren't they? Your kids, one of my kids said to me the other day, I think it was Monday night, hey, can we watch a movie since we don't have to get up for anything tomorrow? I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Somebody has to work here. But kids don't see it that way. I'm glad you're back with us. Today we're going to talk about Houston, we have a problem, which is a phrase I'm sure that you're familiar with. I want to ask you a question. What's your biggest problem right now? What's your biggest problem? You don't have to say it. I don't want to hear it, but I just want you to think about it. What's your biggest problem? I just really don't care that much. Is that good? No, I'm just... What's your biggest problem right now? And here's my other question. How are you going to solve it? How are you going to solve that problem? So now that I've created a lot of anxiety, let's look at God's Word, and I'm hoping that we can relieve a lot of that. I'd say this first, that the phrase Houston, we've had a problem here, as many of you know, is from Apollo 13, when John Swigert in April of 1970 reported that back and was become a very famous phrase that we've got a problem. You know, life is full of problems, and every day is going to have its own share. And some are big and some are little. Some are those things like I have to put air in my left front tire problems. And some of those are I got a report from the doctor problems. So there's different kinds of problems, but we want to solve them. We want to fix them. But today from God's Word, I'm hoping that we'll see that we have something we may not know that we have when it comes to dealing with problems. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have the sheet in the middle of your table, you'll find the scripture passage there so you can follow along with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. No one should deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he can become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, since it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are futile. So no one should boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present, or things to come, all are yours as you belong to Christ and Christ to God. The first thing I want to share with you today is this strange phrase we find in verse 18, being foolish to become wise. Being foolish to become wise, which sounds like a really strange thing. And it says, wise in this age. If you have the translation of the paraphrase of the Bible that's called the Message, it calls that up to date with the times. It's having that wisdom that's up to date with the times. There's a lot of things in this world that we can try to use as wisdom. Worldly wisdom. We have education, and there's nothing wrong with education. We have technology, and there's nothing wrong with technology. We have things that are in the news. We have science. We have information through the internet like no generation has ever possessed before in the history of mankind. And yet, the Bible says that we must become foolish to become wise. In the Greek, the word foolish is translated, you ready? Foolish. Pretty complicated, all right? But wisdom, the wise, that Greek word actually means to become a skilled expert. To become a skilled expert. We must be foolish to become a skilled expert. A skilled expert in what? I believe it's in being a skilled expert in relying upon the wisdom of God. You see, in God's economy, everything's kind of upside down. Have you ever noticed that? As you look in the Bible, you'll find that we have to give to get. We have to lose to win. The last is first. The weak are strong, and the foolish are wise. In God's economy, everything's turned upside down. And so there has to be a willingness on our part. We must acknowledge our foolishness to the point that we are willing to accept God's wisdom. But probably, more than likely, when you and I know this is true in my life, when I come to a problem, it's not immediately God's wisdom I'm looking for. How do I fix this? What do I do? Who do I know that might have an answer? I believe Jesus is wanting to help us. It says in verse 19 and 20, it tells us two results of worldly wisdom, or two results of trying to figure this out for yourself. The first is destruction. It says, he catches the wise in their craftiness. It's the same idea as from Proverbs 16 when it says, pride goes before a fall. In our pride, we say, I got this. We're kind of an I got this society now. If you watch a game show, people will tell themselves, I got this. I got this. It's how we kind of build ourselves. I got this. Can I be honest with you? Most of the time, we ain't got this. But we live in a society that says, where we are motivated to say, where we're almost embarrassed not to say, I got this. And what that does is it makes it harder for us. So we have to admit foolishness. We have to admit to the fact that I don't have this. This is something I don't have the capacity to solve or fix or make right on my own. And if I try to make it right on my own, destruction is right there waiting for me. That pride will lead me to that fall. The second thing is futility. It says in verse 20, and again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, and they are futile. It's not getting you anywhere. If you are a fan of the old movie Princess Bride, any Princess Bride fans in the room? Some of you are looking at me going, I don't know what you're talking about. And some of you are going, abso-stinking-lutely. Okay? Inigo Montoya, great character. He says in that movie many times, you keep using that word, I do not think it means what you think it means. All the Princess Bride fans are going, yes. I think God would say, you keep using your own wisdom, I don't think it's getting you what you think it's getting you. Or as a friend of mine would say, how's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? The problems in your life that have come along, the issues that have come along, and you or me in our pride have said, you know what, I got this. How's that working out for you? How's it working out for you to carry the load that you have day to day? How's that working out for you when things come up and begin to pile up because you don't really have all the answers that you think you have, but you feel this compulsion to have the answers? The Bible says it's futility. How frustrated will you and I become before we acknowledge our need for God's wisdom? When I just graduated from college and I took a new job, a friend of mine, we worked at the same company, we were roommates for a while, and we did our grocery shopping together. And so we would go to the store, and one day I turned and I came down an aisle, and there's my roommate standing in front of all the spaghetti sauce. He's just standing there, and he's just kind of, and I'm like, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying. Why are you praying? I'm not sure which spaghetti sauce to get. And my sensitive self, I said, what's wrong with you? You're praying over spaghetti sauce? Dude, pick some spaghetti sauce. God doesn't care. In the years since then, I often have thought back to that and thought, he may have been more right than I thought. In that moment, he was saying, God, I'm not sure what to do. And it's only spaghetti sauce, but I'm going to bring it to you. As I have attempted to do more of my own things and solve more of my own problems, I've come to the point more often of going, maybe I should have prayed over the spaghetti sauce. Because now, a lot of times, it's not spaghetti sauce. But my tendency is still to go, I got it. In the futility, what would it take? In 1 Corinthians 1:25, I'll start in verse 24. It says, yet to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom, because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. If we had a scale and we could say, this is the wisest man can possibly be, above that is going to be the most foolish that God can be. So no matter what it is, God's going to have us. No matter what it is, he's going to have something better than what we have. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, it says it this way. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration, for heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We live in a very practical, physical world. And our tendency is to forget that we have a God whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Who, imagine, we have a God who is not anxious. He's not worried. He's not fretting. He truly is the example of, I got this. And yet so many times we don't go and we don't ask him. Now in verse 21, back here in 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul says something that, to be honest, I think is a very strange statement. Verse 21 says, so no one should boast in men, for all things are yours. Huh? All things are yours. What in the world does that have to do with godly wisdom? And I think to understand this well, we need to go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says this. He, meaning God, did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? You see, wisdom is part of the package. Wisdom is part of the package. When you and I come to faith, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, part of the package of what we receive is the wisdom of God. It's one of the benefits that comes with it. You see, for a believer to not reach for, ask for, and use the wisdom of God is crazy. It's part of the package of what we've been given. You see, God has a solution for every problem we encounter, but he won't force it on us. Now, each time I've come here, I think I've shared something about my kids. And my wife is over here. Our kids are 15, 13, 11, and 10. Did I get that right? Okay, 15, 13, 11, and 10. There's four of them, four birthdays. It's always changing, okay? 15, 13, 11, and 10. And there are times when I will say to them, I'm going to help you. Here's some wisdom I want to share with you. And they tend to resist it. I know no kid's ever done that before. But they tend to resist that. And I've actually come to the point a few times of saying to them, all right, you want my help, you let me know. I wonder how many times in my life God has said, all right, you want my help, you let me know. Because God's not going to force it on us. God's not going to burrow his way in and say, all right, here's the deal. You're going to take my wisdom whether you want it or not. No, God doesn't do it that way. God's going to say, when you want it, you let me know, and I'm right here more than willing to help you, just like I'm more than willing to help my kids. My kids come to me, and they say, Dad, I need your help. Parents in the room, you know what you will do. Anything it takes, wouldn't you? Anything it takes in that moment to help your kid. And God loves us even more than that. The benefit of belonging to Christ, and therefore belonging to God, is that he is our Father. He loves us. We have his favor. You as a believer have the favor of God, and there's nothing you need to do to earn it. Right now, right this moment, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, as a child of God, you have the favor of the Father. He is ready and willing to help you at any time. God will never say to you, I'm sorry, you just weren't perfect enough yesterday, so I'm not going to help you today. Never say that. God will never give us a standard by which he says, when you live up to this, then I'll start helping you. He'll never do that. You see, God knows we're dust. God knows we're dust. And he knows what we're made of. We just got back as a church. We took some of our seniors, juniors and seniors to New York City. And while we were there, we worked in Queens, and I developed a friendship with a pastor there by the name of Patrick in Long Island City, which is really funny. If you've been to Queens, Long Island City is not on Long Island. It's in Queens. I don't understand, but that's the way it is, all right? So Patrick told me this story about trying to get a suit for his son. He's got a son that's 16 years old. He had something coming up, and he wanted to get him a suit. Well, they haven't lived in Long Island City, Queens, for very long. And so he looked on the internet, and he found this place that does suits. So he found the address, and he drove to that address, and he gets there in a very industrial part of Queens, pretty rough looking. There's no signs. There's no nothing. And he gets there, and he's got a metal door with some initials on the door, and that's it. It's like, I am in the wrong place. So he tries to open the door, and it's locked. So he goes back to his phone, gets on the internet, finds the phone number, and calls him. And he says, hi, I'm looking to buy a suit. And they said, who are you? He said, well, my name is Patrick. And in the background, he can hear them going, anybody know Patrick? You know Patrick? I don't know Pat. You know Pat? Nobody here knows you. I don't know y'all. Okay, well, how'd you find us? On the internet, I just want to get a suit for my son. Okay, hang on just a second. Where are you? Outside, I think. She said, about 10 seconds later, door opens. This guy goes, all right, you come in. Guy brings him in. He says, who are you? I'm Patrick. This is my son. How did you find us? On the internet. Okay, anybody send you? Nobody sent me. Okay, what do you want? I want a suit for my son. He said, he's just like, I'm in a movie. This is weird. And he said, and then everything changed. This guy said, all right, you come with me. And so he goes in there and he takes his son, 16-year-old son, and this man stands him up and goes, I'm Vito. This is Guido. I'm Vinny. This is Guido. Guido, come here. We're going to teach this boy how to wear a suit. So he goes over there and he said, for an hour, this man taught his son how to wear a suit. Son, let me tell you something. Your pants got to fit like this. Your cuffs got to go like this. You put on a jacket, let me show you how that jacket wears. You don't wear that jacket like that. You wear that jacket like this. You know where your cuffs come to? Your cuffs come to here. When you stand to get tailored, you stand like this. You just, all right, let's talk about vests. Let's put a vest on you. You don't wear a vest like this. You wear it for an hour. Patrick's like, this is amazing. He says, all right, what kind of suit do you want? They did nothing but handmade Italian suits. Shocker. He gave his son, he set him up with three Italian suits. And Patrick's thinking, how much is this going to cost? And the guy said, all right, special deal. These suits, I'll let you have these suits for about $3,000. $3,000 for three suits, making him a special deal. Patrick said, I don't have any kind of money like that. He said, really? I don't. I'm a minister. I don't have that. He says, how about $400? Patrick said, are you serious? He goes, $400. Done. $400, three suits. You have shirts? I don't have shirts. I know a guy. Okay, you go down here, you go three blocks, you knock on the door, not going to say anything on the door. You knock on them, you say that Vinny sent you, there, you're in. She goes, knocks on the door. Who are you? Vinny sent me. All right, you're good. Come in. He said, I don't know who I bought a suit from, but I got three of the nicest suits you ever seen and wonderful shirts for my son. And this is what he said. If you ever come to Queens and you need a suit, I got a guy. Can I tell you something? When it comes to the problems, the issues of life, if you're a believer, you can say, I got a guy. I got somebody. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. I got a guy. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Life isn't fair. Life isn't easy. Oftentimes, life is very, very good. But, Lord, there are so many times when we just desperately need you. And we need your wisdom. God, grant us hearts that are willing to be foolish and say, God, I need your help. God, work this out for me. God, fix this. God, do what needs to be done. God, show me the way. Guide me. Help me. Give me wisdom. And Lord, we know your word is faithful and true, and that destruction and futility await us if we are not willing to be foolish. But Lord, you are waiting, willing to help us. Because in everything, God, you can say, I got this. Lord, as believers, so often we are missing one of the greatest benefits that we possess as believers. And that is just to lean on you, to fall on you, to depend upon you. So Lord, today we just acknowledge that often we have done that. And we pray, God, that you would remind us through the power of your Holy Spirit that we can lean on you. We pray, God, that in whatever's going on, Lord, the thoughts that came to the men and women in this room, when I asked them the question, what is your biggest problem and what are you going to do about it? Lord, I pray that even now, men and women are saying, Jesus, this problem is yours. God, I got this problem at work. And in reality, I don't really know what to do about it. And so, Jesus, it's yours. Give me wisdom. I have this problem in my family, Lord, and I'm not really sure what to do about it. And so, oh, God, it's yours. Show me what to do. Lord, I have a problem in my own heart, and I don't really know what to do about it. So today, I give it to you. I'm going to ask you right now, just as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, just focusing in on your own personal life. What is it you just need to give to the Lord right now? I just encourage you to give it to him. Lord, bless these people. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Give us wisdom that comes from you for the glory of God. It is in the name of your precious Son we pray. Amen. Thank you all.